Check podcasts.
Thanks for listening to the Donnie and Dolly podcast. Catch the show Monday through Friday, 10 a.m. to noon on Check. Your local sports coverage lives here.
Well, why am I watching it?
Because it's on TV.
With Don Taylor.
Cucumber is the worst vegetable out there.
No lasting power, no staying power.
And Rick Dollywall.
45 minutes in front of a mirror, I banged it.
Here's Donnie and Dolly.
10 o'clock, downtown Vancouver. We're in the Paul Carson studio. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Happy New Year. It's Donnie and Dolly, the team on Check. Don Taylor, along with Rick Dollywall. Our producer, the man of the controls, is Ryan Henderson. Our director, the voice of God, is Derek Wong. How you doing? Great night last night.
Yep. If we come in being negative, like Ryan, we can't do it. They just beat the defending Stanley Cup champs, Donnie.
Do you have a problem with us being negative when they're losing, when the Canucks are losing a lot?
No. But okay. when they win like they did last night.
You're being negative now.
No, when they win like they did last night. Give props.
What was it the other night against the Islanders? They had three blocks?
Three.
24 last night. Giveaways down from, I believe it was 13 against the Islanders to 9.
Yep.
And they had 29 hits last night. A commitment to defense.
Yes, yes.
Playing the right way.
And Will Lockwood, in just 9 minutes of play last night, Donnie, he led the way with 8 hits, which is a very high number for such low ice time. So Will Lockwood.
I know they weren't playing on the same line, but I like it when Stadnica and Lockwood are in the lineup.
Yeah.
If Bruce Boudreau can achieve that, just because and Stadnica beat out the icing call
in
that game, and Bruce Boudreau said that was a turning point. At times, certainly. I know it's not everything, but speed and aggressiveness, it certainly works. I like watching Lockwood and Stadnica. That fourth line was very good,
last night. Yep.
That was Lazar, Joshua, and Stadnica. Stadnica between Joshua and Lazar, and they were matched up for much of the night against the MacKinnon line. So a little bit different approach for Bruce Boudreau, and it works. So the Canucks over the Avalanche 4-2. We also want to talk about, and there's a Canuck connection here, folks, the Team Canada victory over Czechia, with Dylan Gunther playing a fairly significant role for Team Canada. We'll get into that a bit. Let's get to the highlights. What do you think?
Yes.
Let's do it. Derek, we good? Let's go. Pick it up. Late first period, Avs power play. Mikko Rantanen in right side, Chud. NHL, his 26th 1-0 champions with a score 2-0 in the second. Andrew Cogliano's clearing attempt hits an official. Canucks get the puck back. OEL to McKeever to Andre Kuzmenko, showing off the quick hands. Mesh rippling on the backhand. 2-1. Canucks get on the board. Moments later, Elias Pettersson circling. He is stopped. But there, to bang in the loose puck, is the Kuzmenkian one. Second of the night, 17th of the year. Suddenly it's 2-2. More from the Canucks. Avs give the puck away to Bo Horvat. He's denied, but Brock Besser is it. 3-2 in the tally by the man wearing Sammy Salo's old number 6. And Alex Georgiev pretty happy about that. Pulling off a JT Miller here. Late third, Georgiev pulled Pettersson left side all the way over to JT Miller. Yawning cage. Canucks double the Avs. 4-2 in Winnipeg on Sunday. Canucks in that second period, 3 goals in 2 minutes and 33 seconds. You can't stop the Canucks. You can only hope to contain them.
Well, and this is what drives management nuts. You lose to the Islanders, Donnie, at home 6-2. Then you come back and beat the defending Stanley Cup champs. They keep hovering around the playoff mark. Instead of going all the way down for, you know, Connor Bedard, they don't do that. They don't show any signs going all the way. There's a lot of talent on this team offensively. But here they are again, middle of the pack, and they just like being in the middle of the pack.
The Avs didn't look like the Avs last night.
Four guys.
Yeah.
You know,
Bowen Byram being one of them. Landeskog isn't there. So, that's all fine, but how many times in the past, you know, a team will come into Vancouver, they played the night before, or they're injury-riddled, and the Canucks are unable to beat them, right?
Yep.
So, the Canucks, the Avs can make all the excuses they want. The Canucks will take that victory. Just such a contrast from what we saw against the Islanders. They were awful against New York, and pretty impressive, all things considered, last night against Colorado. Also a contrast, Bruce Boudreau's mood after the game. This will be clip one of Bruce, Derek. This is versus Tuesday. Unhappy Bruce. Here's happy Bruce.
It's really positive when you get that kind of response after all the stuff that went on in the last 48 hours. And I mean, we got some great efforts from guys. I thought that might have been Lazar's best game of the year. The so-called fourth line played really good, and to the point where we played them against McKinnon's line in the last two periods. And if they can do that, that's on a regular basis. That's wonderful.
Okay, so with that in mind, you want to say something?
No, go ahead.
With that in mind, let's go to also after the game in the dressing room. I love when the Canucks do this. They post the belt ceremony.
Oh, right.
The title belt ceremony, player of the game ceremony, this time around Bo Horvat in charge.
I mean, I could have gave this to a lot of guys tonight. Dale's unreal game. Tuesday would have got us going, but this guy was a f***ing warrior tonight. Blocked so many shots, I'm going to get the laser. Yeah!
We played for each other, we stayed the course, we had some fun. I don't think we're going to pregame see it ever again.
So. I guess they didn't have a morning skate.
Five block shots for Lazar last night, Donnie.
Yeah, five block shots, four hits, had a couple of shots really noticeable out there. And as Bruce Boudreau mentioned in his clip, Lazar was used, and he wouldn't expect this against the McKinnon line. And Lazar's line went up against the McKinnon line, and it really worked. Obviously, Rantanen scored the power play goal, but that was a different situation. I'll tell you right now, Curtis Lazar, you heard it here first, broadcasting career.
Somewhere down the line. So good.
He's got a lot of charisma. Not that you need charisma, but he's just really comfortable, really charismatic in front of a camera, and a really good talker. So I could see him doing that. And in the meantime, he's doing a pretty good job.
You know who else? You know who else has got a good personality on that team?
Kuzmenko.
He's unbelievable. Since the day he arrived, Donnie, he won over everybody with his interviews. He always smiling. You never see this guy down. And then two goals last night. Donnie, I'm telling you, I don't know how this club is going to find a way to sign this guy. They're going to have to do it here in the next few weeks.
So two goals for Andre Kuzmenko. He now is 17 on the year. Third overall in Canucks points, if I'm not mistaken. So that leads to, and we have three guests today on our show. So let's get right to the bet99.net poll question. It has to do with number 96. Rick, did you know every game starts at bet99.net?
That's right, the bet99.net poll question. What should the Canucks do with Andre Kuzmenko? He is a UFA, so let's get that out of the way. The Canucks could only sign him to a one-year deal when they did sign him. So anyways, 68%, Donnie, say extend him. 31% say trade him. The only way you trade him is if you get an inkling before the trade deadline, March 3rd, that they're too far apart, Donnie. And then you got to say to yourself, okay, if we're far apart, let's go get some assets for this guy instead of losing him. So it's going to be an interesting decision what happens. There's two guys. Keep an eye on Horvat and Kuzmenko.
And Shen, too.
And how do they sign him, Donnie, is going to be the big key for me.
Do you get the feeling, and you talked to his agent, who's Dan Milstein.
Yep.
Do you get the feeling Andre Kuzmenko is enjoying himself? And people will say, well, what are you talking about, Don? 17 goals. Of course he's enjoying himself. But there hasn't been a whole lot of winning.
Yeah.
So do you get the feeling that he's enjoying himself here?
Yes, I do. He picked the Canucks over 26 other teams. He's very happy in Vancouver. But when it comes to the contract, this is what I know, Don. His agent, Dan Milstein, which you just said, he's going to be patient. He's in no rush. The more points his client racks up, the better for him and his client. Now, keep in mind, Milstein did a bridge deal for Artemi Panarin. 2 years, $6 million per season. Now, a bridge deal could work for Kuzmenko in Vancouver or an 8-year deal. In 2 years, Kuzmenko would be 29 years old. The cap's going to go up in 2 years. He'll have a better number offensively to command a better deal. Now, here's where it gets dicey. Milstein's concerned about the fact, and maybe you can help me out, Donnie. I don't know. This is politics. I don't know too much about this stuff. Milstein is concerned about the fact that foreigners can't buy houses in Canada for two years. I think that just kicked in. The other thing that really hurts the Canucks, and I know the ownership and the team has been battling this for years, the foreigner's tax on buying a house in Vancouver, I think it's at 20%. That really hurts the players. So it could be a factor in negotiations. We'll keep an eye on that.
Yeah. You know, it just seems to be, for a lot of people, I know you talk about this a lot, a no-brainer to a plane counter to want to play in Canada, but there's the media pressure. There are, what you're talking about, the restrictions for foreigners buying property now. And a lot of people are in favor of that, let's be honest. But that's a different world. The hockey world, the NHL world is different, and you're competing against places like Tennessee and Florida, Texas,
Dallas.
Where the taxes are really low,
Dallas.
Property values are really low, not as many restrictions there. So keep that in mind. But, I mean, Horvat, Kuzmenko, Shen, who would be most likely to go, do you think?
Well,
those three.
Well, do they? I think Horvat. I was
combined
thinking,
the two names.
Borvat, a new name, Borvat. Horvat.
There's a movie by that time. I think
Horvat and Kuzmenko are going to affect each other. I mean,
of course.
Yeah. I mean, how can you afford both of them?
The Canucks, different price points too. Keep that.
They
in mind.
Are different. Yeah. I said. The way he's going, Kuzmenko, you got to think $5-6 million. I'm just throwing it out there. I threw you the Panarin comparison for Milstein, so I just think it's going to be a high number, Donnie. But it's not going to be easy signing both these guys.
Well, the cap's only going up.
That's it.
Like $1 million.
And they can't get rid of their bad contracts. They've been trying for months and months and months and months. They can't do it, Don.
So that leads to the possibility of a buyout. Right? Or buyouts.
I see a buyout coming this summer. And, boy, I tell you, I looked at Garland last night. 11 minutes, 3 on the power play, not a shot on net.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's a guy that's got to get going, Donnie. He's a guy that's making a lot of money. He's a guy that I've got penciled in as he's got to get going. I'll just leave it at that.
Okay. You know what? We run a lot of clips on this show. With Bruce Boudreau not being all that pleased with his team's effort, his team's performance, his own performance. We ran all those clips yesterday. Let's have another example of a happy Bruce from last night. In all fairness to Double B, here he is talking about his team versus the Islanders Tuesday, committing to defense, especially when you look at the 29 hits and 24 blocks.
Well, that's the way we have to play to win. We have to do all of those things. And when we do them all, I mean, coaches are talking. It's pretty to watch from the bench. And, you know, I mean, you're talking about committing to defend the other day. Well, in the third period, I thought that's exactly what they did. And they played for each other, and it was really fun to watch.
And bang on. That, you know, for once, that game, the Canucks, were fun to watch.
Yes.
That certainly was the case. Last night, and what a night it was, because before, and the timing was just so perfect. That World Junior gold medal game starts at 3:30, followed by the Canuck game, which ended up being so entertaining. But what a tournament if you're a Canuck, if you're a Canadian fan. I mean, two of the final three games go to overtime. Canada wins both. And then the game against the Americans, that semifinal game, they had to overcome a 2-0 deficit against the rivals from down south. It really was a special tournament. Do we want to get into Dylan Guenther right now?
Yeah, let's
Ryan,
do it.
We got time? Or should
we wait?
Okay, let's do that, because Dylan Guenther, and there were some excellent tweets after he scored, some great wordplay.
One by you.
I don't know if you noticed that on Twitter last night. Ryan, I'm just saying that to bother you, because I know you had a problem with my, you know, friends.
Yeah.
Comparison when it came to Dylan Guenther, so I thought it was hilarious, and I might have been the only one. So he gets a couple of goals, and of course Dylan Guenther, ninth overall 2021 with the first round pick, the Canucks, among other things, the Canucks gave up in the OEL Garland trade. So we'll deal with that a little bit later. I know you and I and you and Ryan disagree with my take on it, so we'll get to that later. Here's what else is coming up on the big show today. We good, Ryan? What are you doing over there? You seem busy.
Yeah, no, I'm just checking on some things with our streaming. That's all.
We had issues with streaming yesterday.
Yeah,
how's that going? We apologize to people.
The audio stream went down mid-show yesterday, and then it came back up. So, just making sure everything's cool, calm. collected.
Yeah. I'm sure the show's in good hands now. DTMZ, Is It Just Me, coming up in the 11 o'clock hour. Craig Button is going to join us. Of course, getting Craig on, TSN scouting director, right after the World Juniors. So important. We bring up any player in that tournament, and Craig will be able to talk about him. I'll tell you who was good for the Canadians. I thought big number 20, Ostapchuk.
Yes.
From the Vancouver Giants.
Captain.
Yeah, not a ton of ice time, but very important on the PK. Really noticeable. Had a breakaway or two yesterday.
I thought
he was really good. And we want to talk to Craig about Thomas Milic, the Canadian goaltender. He passed over, what, two times in the NHL draft? Boy, he looked good. He's gonna at the very least get himself a tryout, if not drafted. Okay, Big Ride, the Twitter guy, coming up later this hour. And we made a switch. Have I got that right? So Thomas Drance, he's bounced back from an issue last night. I don't know if he wants to talk about during the Sportsnet broadcast. He's going to join us in a couple of segments from now. But up next, what about the Seattle Kraken?
Oh.
5-1 over the Leafs that beat the Oilers the other day. Third place in the Pacific Division. They're going to be hosting the Winter Classic in 2024. All sorts of positive things with the Kraken. Seahawks have a chance to nail down a playoff spot on the weekend. We'll talk about all of that with our friend from KGR Sports Radio, Ian Furness. He's next. Thanks for tuning in. Donnie and Dolly, the team, on check.
Donnie and Dolly, the team, is supported by AbleAuctions.ca. Closing your business? We can help.
Okay, it is Friday, and today, all of our guests, including Ian Furness, standing by. Brought to you by the Waddling Dog Pub, one of Victoria's favorite local pubs, located 10 minutes from the ferry. The two-time number one pub in Victoria invites you to go see why they are a go-to watering hole. The Waddling Dog Pub is the best place for all of your Canucks and NHL action, with extended hours, so you don't have to miss any of the action. Come, sit, stay at the Waddling Dog Pub. There's people that are texting in who are trying to educate us on Canada's laws when it comes to foreign buyers.
Okay, just two things. I'm quoting the agent. As you can tell, this is a sports show. I don't know anything about the foreigners' tax to buy a house or not buy a house. We are quoting the agent. I don't Google house taxes and stuff like that, Donnie. Mm-hmm. The agent says it might
be. Do you want to mention the things you do Google?
No, because we get fired. Listen, I'm telling you, the agent has a concern about the foreign buyer's tax. So that, we're quoting the agent. Okay. It's not us.
All right.
And he had a client in Vancouver who didn't buy a house because of the 20% tax on foreigners. So he's onto something. But don't rip us for the foreigners' house tax stuff. That's not us.
Yeah. You know, when it comes to a sheet of ice, we're okay. We can talk about that.
Yeah. Rip the agent.
Anything that takes a lot of intelligence, we're out the door.
Okay.
Not just you, all of us.
Yeah.
Okay. Speaking of intelligence, joining us from KGR Sports Radio in Seattle, our good friend Ian Furness. How are you, sir?
Solid segue, Johnny. Pros move. And on your part, why don't you just do like we do? Build a wall. You'll be fine. You know,
yeah.
Come out.
Yeah. How's
build
that going?
A wall. Yeah. Well, fabulous. I mean, it's just things couldn't be better down here. I mean, yeah, just, you know, you can do what they do down in the border. You get all the old containers and just put it across the Peace Arch up there. That should solve all your problems.
So what's the best route for a parade in Seattle, Stanley Cup parade? Ian, what do you think?
Well, we talked about that quite a bit, Donnie. We think probably the same one the Seahawks took. You'll go down Second Avenue and down through Pioneer Square and end up at Lumen Field. You'll have to reverse it this time. You'll come start at Lumen Field.
There you go.
Probably go 4th Avenue because it's a one-way. That'll get you all the way to Climate Pledge in the Seattle Center grounds.
Where do you think this – and for people who aren't aware – I hope you are aware because this is a sports show, but the Kraken last night going to Toronto win 5-1. They've won three straight. They're third place in the Pacific. They're hosting a Winter Classic. Where is this franchise at right now? Because I know you well, were critical of them last year.
I was critical of them, Donnie. I'm glad you point that out every week.
It's every second week.
Fire the coach, I think you said. Fire the coach.
Hey, man, there were questions about him at the start of the season.
There you go.
Yeah, they – listen, first of all, I didn't even watch the game last night. You're going to say, why not, Ian? What were you doing?
Building a wall. Oh, of course, Team Canada.
Yeah. What do you, I mean, come on. Like, we're talking about the Kraken in Toronto. I know our hockey team down here did everybody up there a favor and beat the great Toronto Maple Leafs. And, you know, you guys can send thank you notes down here. But I was watching Team Canada. My guy Thomas Milich backstopping them to a win. Guy from up there, right? Equipment.
Seattle Thunderbird.
But I've said it before. I'll say it again. They need to get to the postseason and really to kind of capture more than just the hockey fans' attention, I think, down here. But it's a good hockey team. You know, Shane Wright just got sent down today down to juniors in the OHL. He'll get traded from the team he's at, go to a playoff team and all that stuff. We've seen that before with guys around the league. But it also says something because Shane Wright last year would have been a second or third line center on this team. You know, that's how much deeper they are this year than they were last year. And they need some help. I still think they need to make a move on the back end. But who doesn't in the NHL, right, to find a little bit better defense? But they're good. You know, if the goaltending can hold up, guys, it's really – I mean, it's not a complicated – I mean, I know in this day and age of analytics, we're trying to make it a complicated game. If your goaltending can hold up, right, you're going to be okay. They've got enough talent. They've got enough guys that can score.
Tremendous goal on the backhand by Shane Wright yesterday. I alluded to this.
Oh, how about that, huh? Yeah. How about that? Yeah. And then, hey, congratulations, kid. Gold medal. You know, you roof a backhander, a huge goal. And
go to Kingston.
Head on back down to the O.
You ripped into Shane Wright last year, too, as I recall.
Killed him. Absolutely crushed him, even before he came here. Yeah, absolutely.
I alluded to this earlier. What's your reaction to the Kraken, to Seattle getting awarded a Winter Classic?
Well, awesome, obviously. And they have been talking about this, guys, for a long time. I know that, the Thunderbirds have talked about it with the T-Mobile guys even before, 3 or 4 years ago. I thought we might actually see a WHL game. Remember, the WHL did an outdoor game. The first one they did was in Spokane about a decade ago with Spokane. And I believe it was it Chilliwack, whatever team that was, the up there, the Kootenai Ice. Came down. They did. It was on national TV in Canada. It ended up drizzling rain a little bit. It worked out, but it was a bad game. But I thought the T-Birds were going to play a game there first, kind of as a test thing. But they just jumped in with both feet. And I'm not, I'm not so sure that we won't see a WHL game there. In conjunction with that weekend, I would be surprised if we don't. I think we probably will. And I think it's phenomenal. I mean, it brings look. We have an All-Star game here this year, Major League Baseball. We're going to have that. The Outdoor Classic. I think it'll bring a lot of people into the building that can't normally afford maybe to go to Climate Pledge. Hopefully they are smart enough to have tickets, that are affordable for people to go in, because you're going to have, double the attendance you'd normally have. And so I think, everything surrounding it, it'll be great. Obviously there's the Vancouver element versus Vegas that comes into play. Personally, and I know I look back and I think only Montreal and Toronto have played in the Winter Classic in the history of it, right? And those are both, they're both playing other original six teams. Yep. But I think they missed the boat here. I think Vancouver would have been the thing. I know you're looking for an American TV audience. It's not like Vegas is this massive, huge television market in the U.S. I think they missed the boat. I think from an atmosphere standpoint, if it would have been Vancouver, it would have been far better. And, you would have the ability to bring people across the border down here. And, look, you're not going to have a hard time selling tickets. But just imagine the atmosphere if you would have had more of a split crowd and until these two teams play each other in the playoffs, whether it's Seattle and Vegas or Seattle and Vancouver, you're not going to have a true rivalry, right? You need to have a playoff series somewhere along the way to really kind of kick that lower. But this would help. I think this would help. Yeah, but I guess my advice to Vancouver would be, be better and maybe people want to watch it. So,
Yeah, no kidding. Ian, I want to get your thoughts on
just gave us a shot there.
Yeah, I know he gave us a shot. I'm listening. He's always giving
us
shots.
Listen, I'm not giving you a shot. Are you guys – last I checked, you're not in the front office.
Yeah.
You're not behind the bench. It's not your –
Well, give it some time. In a couple of weeks, we might be.
I mean, you didn't sign JT Miller, did you? I don't think. No. I mean, Donnie, I remember all last year you kept saying don't sign JT Miller. Mm-hmm. You know, the only guy saying it. But look where you are right now.
Look where we are. Want to get your thoughts on the biggest story in the NFL, DeMar Hamlin, because the Seahawks brought in a team physician after Monday night to reassure the players about the Hamlin incident. How around Seattle and the Seahawks are they taking that story, Ian?
Well, yeah, we'll be serious for a second. Here's the thing with what they did. They brought in Dr. Jonathan Drenzer, who is he's a chief cardiologist for sports medicine at the University of Washington Medical Center. He's also on one of the main medical committees for the National Football League. He's a Seahawks cardiologist. He's a top-shelf guy, travels to every game. You know, I think one of the things that was not forgotten, but I think is something that maybe people are just now learning. In the National Football League, there's this massive traveling party. But whether it's equipment guys or players, assistant coaches, video, and all these people. But in amongst it are the most important people are the medical staff. And, you have at least two doctors that travel with every team. The Seahawks, for example, have a head trainer, an assistant trainer, and they have three other assistant trainers that are kind of below them. Every one of those people, they're coordinated. They practice before the game. They meet with the opposing team. It is really an amazing process. I've watched it from afar. I've always been really kind of impressed by it. Everyone's wearing an earpiece. Everyone knows. I'll paint the picture for this way. When I'm in the press box watching a game and we're covering it, and we tweet stuff out here and there. If I see a player injured, I know the young woman, the lady that actually is in charge of the cart, for example, right? Like I know who that is. And I'll keep my eye on her. Like, are they getting the cart? Are they, where is she at? Everyone has a job. And so when we saw that on Monday, the coordination between the Bills and then obviously the Bengals staff jumping in, the paramedics that are on the scene, and there's, I think in Seattle we have at least two or three, I believe, that, at each end there's a ton of people there. And they all have a job. And so it's horrible to say this, but it's honestly the truth. If this was a cardiac arrest that was inevitable for this young man to happen, there's probably no better place outside of an emergency room for it to happen.
Right.
It was, and they saved his life. The Seahawks brought Dr. Drenzer in more to speak to the media and kind of explain what that process is, where they are, what they're doing, because they didn't want Pete Carroll and the players to have to answer questions about logistics and things they don't know anything about. But I thought it was a really interesting conversation. He talked about the risk of cardiac arrest for young athletes and where that high risk is. I know in hockey, if I'm not mistaken, Donnie, right? Like the shoulder pads have changed over the years, right?
Yeah,
like they've kind of gone down
more chest protection.
Yeah. There's a big push in the States for baseball, young baseball players to wear a chest plate because, if it's a sudden, impact
can't
there, it could affect them. Lacrosse, I know, has an issue with it as well. So, but they brought him in. He did meet with the team along with Pete Carroll and kind of, hey, we're ready to go if something ever happened. But remember, this was unprecedented. It had never happened before in the history of the National Football League,
And very quickly, Ian, Seahawks, Rams, playoff ramifications there. Very quickly, but are you okay with that scheduling, with that Lions-Packers game after that?
It's brutal. It's never they've never done that. They've always synced everything up. I mean, God forbid we're taking cues from the MLS with Decision Day, but that's what they've done, right? And even baseball, guys, Major League Baseball, if they run into the same situation, they do the same thing. They sync games up. This is unprecedented. It's they want Aaron Rodgers in the postseason. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. They'd rather have Aaron Rodgers than the Lions or the Seahawks in there. Yeah. And it's a huge advantage for the Packers because if the Seahawks win, I don't care what anybody says, in a try-hard sport, how hard are the Lions going to try? By the way, they are 3-28 in their last 31 meetings with the Packers in the state of Wisconsin.
Exactly.
It's not like this rivalry is going to mean much at all at that point. So, it's a dropping the ball. NFL didn't have a great week. They also kind of messed up the whole situation with the Bills and the Bengals too, with flipping coins and taking home field advantage away. But
I know you're joining us. I know you're joining us next week. I'll be sure to mention how much you criticize the Kraken next week. So, okay.
I hated the Matty Beniers draft pick. Hated it. Absolutely hated it. Yeah.
Not anymore.
We'll try to find an old clip to prove that. All right.
I'm sure you will. Yeah, Brian's not going to find that. I'm not worried about that.
You know him too well. Thanks, Ian. Appreciate
you,
it. Bye. Ian Furness, KGR Sports Radio in Seattle. And for people who don't know, if you watch this show enough, you know this. Even from back in our funny station days, Ian was sincere when he was talking about watching the Team Canada game. His mother's Canadian.
Yeah,
so
he's
he knows
Canadian
a whole lot
ties.
About our country and a whole lot about the sport of hockey. Canucks beat the Avs last night by a score of 4-2. Thomas Drantz will be here to talk about it next. Donnie and Dolly, the team on check.
Able Auction specializes in helping British Columbia-based business owners close their business and sell their assets in a timely, orderly manner.
Online events for everything from machine shop and manufacturing auctions to industrial equipment, retail inventories, or any other type of business assets, Able Auctions can help.
For a free confidential consultation on getting your business assets sold, please email sales at ableauctions.ca. That's sales at ablauctions.ca.
Okay, again, it is a Friday. All of our guests today, including Thomas Drant, standing by, brought to you by the Waddling Dog Pub in Victoria. Come sit and stay at the Waddling Dog as we bring in from the Athletic, Thomas Drant, in the wake of a 4-2 Canuck victory over Colorado last night. I want to get this in just before we get to Thomas. Andrew in Walnut Grove, Delaney's OK Tire and Langley inbox. Games like last night prove it's not the coach. Players are able to play good games with structure and make a choice not to play that way too often. Andrew in Walnut Grove. Of course, a lot of criticism about Bruce and structure the past little while. Andrew saying not so much as we bring in Thomas. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, although I'd be careful about reading too much into the result of one game either way.
Of course, yeah.
I don't think it's Bruce Boudreau's issue. Like, Bruce Boudreau is one of the winningest coaches in the history of this sport in the regular season. I mean, to look at Bruce and say, well, that guy just doesn't know how to win, you've got literally 800 results that prove otherwise. But, you know, last night for me anyway, Canucks played great. Mm-hmm. Loved to see that effort level rebound after a New York Islanders game that I thought was maddening, unacceptable. Truly, that was the sort of effort where, you know, even someone dispassionate like me looks at it and thinks, what are we doing here? Mm-hmm. So I like to see that effort level rebound, but the Avs were, it didn't feel like they wanted to win until the last 10 minutes of the third period. Yeah. And they were ridiculously undisciplined throughout the game, but particularly in that second period when the tide turned.
Yeah. What were you thinking when the Canucks, given what happened with the Islanders, what were you thinking when the Canucks were down 2-0, Thomas?
Well, I was thinking, this is great. This is exactly what they need. This is perfect.
Yeah.
And, you know, of course, the Canucks, the commitment to the bit is impressive, Donnie. The mm-hmm. commitment to the bit, you know, sometimes I get so annoyed by how frustrating and hopeless this franchise can be that I forget to enjoy the fatalistic whimsy of it all, right? Like on a night that the North Van kid wins gold and that Dylan Gunther, who we barely even talk about, you know, like we barely even talk about him as the one that got away in the Oliver Ekman-Larsson trade because he's the third worst part of that deal from a Canucks perspective, you know, scores the overtime winner, a golden goal to sort of cement himself in hockey's history books. You know, the Canucks then eliminate a 2-0 deficit against the defending champs to pull 6 points clear of the Arizona Coyotes in the bottom five. I mean, you can't script it. You know, the race for 10th in the West is on, boys. It's on.
Let me ask you, Thomas, I want to get into Gunther with you, because do you have evidence the Canucks would have taken Gunther at 9? Because let me tell you something.
Okay.
The 11 picks after Gunther, 9 were forwards, 2 were defensemen, two were goalies, none were defensemen. Do you have evidence that Gunther was the guy the Canucks were going to take at 9?
Do I have evidence that the Canucks would have not messed up that pick? No.
But you're phrasing it like you have evidence they were going to take Gunther at 9.
Okay. Rick, come on, chill out. Here's what I can tell you about the Gunther.
That's a question. I asked you a question.
Yeah, and I'm about to answer it. Just let me talk. Part of the reason that the Canucks did ultimately feel comfortable trading it was that they had a decent sense of how the board was unfolding ahead of them, right? I think once they had a sense that Kent Johnson wasn't going to be available, who was the apple of some people in scouting's eye, and Simone Edvinson in particular.
Yeah.
Once those two players, once they had a good sense that neither would be available. Oh, also William Eklund, who went to the Sharks. Those mm-hmm. were sort of the three guys. Once they had a good sense that those guys wouldn't be on the board, I think the consideration of dealing the pick really cemented for the organization. You know, in addition to Alex Edler announcing to the club that he wouldn't return and would test free agency, opening up this sort of spot on the left side, and they saw Oliver Ekman-Larsson as sort of naturally filling that slot on their roster and on their books. So that's sort of what I know about the anatomy of the mistake. If they'd kept the pick, would they have messed it up and picked someone other than, you know, a guy who is a historic WHL scorer? For a power winger who was already effective in the NHL, who just dominated a tournament. Look, you never bet against the Canucks whiffing on the draft floor.
Thomas, I want to stay with draft picks with you. Lekera Mäki, he's getting the poor kid's getting hammered for a bad World Juniors. But is this a case of, okay, he's coming off a concussion. Then before that, he had mono. It's been a bad year for the kid overall. But is he a kid you're writing off, or are you saying it's just been a bad year for him?
Oh, I'm definitely not writing him off. And here's I'll go even further than that, Rick. You know, I know you're hearing concerns out of Sweden and within the industry. Yep. I'm hearing concerns. The scouts that I talk to who are in Halifax were wildly unimpressed with what they saw. He's one of those players. He's sort of got one dimension to his game, right? When the shot's not going in, when he's not scoring, he can be too perimeter oriented. The skating hasn't developed. There's concern for sure. There's concern in the industry. You're hearing it. I'm hearing it. But not only would I say that I'm not like writing him off, I'd still defend the pick. Honestly, I still think it was the right play. I mean, when you're the Vancouver Canucks and you've got a myriad of issues, you got to take the home run cut. You've got to swing for the fences. And Lekera Mäki was a player widely expected to go in the top 10. Canucks didn't think he'd be available to them when they were picking at 15th. They were overjoyed to get him. In terms of what he did in the SHL last season as a 17-year-old, his profile was through the roof. Now, there's always concern these days about shot first, like shoot first prospects. I think we've seen, especially over the last 10 years, if you're a shooter, like a sniper at lower levels, it's really hard for that to translate. You think about guys like Kiefer Bellows. You think about guys like Owen Tippett, Ili Tolvanen, who just was claimed off waivers by the Seattle Kraken. I mean, go back to Jake Virtanen. Like what we've sort of seen and what some scouts in the industry are talking a lot about is that if you're not a player who produces in a variety of different ways at the amateur ranks or in lower levels, it's hard to be a good enough sniper to really sort of make that your bread and butter in the NHL. You kind of need to have a more well-rounded game. I think that's the most valid concern for Lekera Mäki. The way that his draft plus one season has played out, deeply concerning, although he played well in the bronze medal game, no question. But, you know, if you ask Patrick Alvin, he'll tell you it's a marathon, not a sprint. And there's still a ton of talent. This is a high pedigree player who's dealt with mono, a concussion, a variety of injuries. He's disappointed roundly this season, but there's a ton of time for him to get this back on track. And he's got the sort of high-end skill set that you definitely don't want to write him off when he's still 18.
Are you okay? Because Murph mentioned that there might have been a health issue yesterday.
Yeah. Oh, like two, three minutes before I'm supposed to go on TV, my nose just started gushing blood. I got it all over my suit. It was embarrassing. So, honestly, it didn't stop for like half an hour. So I went down and I was talking to Murph and I had the Kleenex on my nose. and I was just like, I'll do it. I'll fight through the pain. He's like, do what you're comfortable with. And then I sort of removed it. And I think I probably just like, you know, looked like Hannibal Lecter. And he was just like, nah, you're fine. You're all good, bud.
Yeah. Well, that's good. We were worried about you.
Yeah.
No, I was good. And I saw some like theories that I'd been like banned after calling for the team to get detonated on the sports broadcast.
Right.
Yeah.
But that's not the case. Truly, just like very bad luck. I was just a little too messy to be on television.
Yeah. Or maybe Rutherford had his way with you, maybe just before the interview after that, after what you said, the first intermission.
Gentleman. Would
my son, happen. My, one of my sons suffers from the same sort of thing, just nosebleeds out of nowhere. So in a way I related. Thomas, thanks for this. Have a great weekend.
Anytime, gentlemen. Bye.
You bet. Thomas Drantz from The Athletic. Canucks, now, we haven't talked about this yet, but Winnipeg Sunday, the start of not just a tough five-game road trip, but a very difficult January. They're playing, you know, Pittsburgh and Carolina.
Tampa Bay twice.
Very difficult. Tampa Bay comes into Vancouver after they visit Tampa Bay. They play Florida. Florida's not having the greatest season, but there's talent there. Real tough stretch. For the Canucks. Okay. Brock Besser, I wanted to talk about him yesterday. He gets the winning goal. I thought that was his best game in a long time.
One of his best games in a while.
And I thought there were actually moments, and look, we all know what Brock gets criticized for more than anything. I thought there were moments last night where he looked kind of fast.
He was moving his feet. He was moving his feet.
Okay. And the other thing, we want to talk about Dylan Gunther some more. You're very emotional about this. We'll do this a couple segments from now. Like, I don't know why, but I don't know your take. Is, I think Thomas and I agree. Ryan agrees with me, but your take is...
Do you have evidence the Canucks were going to take him at night?
We'll talk about that in a few segments. Meanwhile, Big Rye, the Twitter guy, coming up next on Donnie Dell of the Team on Check. Time now for Big Rye, the Twitter guy. Lots of reaction regarding Dylan Gunther and his relationship. Well, not relationship, but the connection you can make to the Canucks. Again, we'll get to that in a couple of segments. Big Rye, the Twitter guy.
Well, and this is from Brinsley, which
good name.
And Dollywell wrote back, agree. So apparently he does. Who cares if they were or not going to take Gunther at 9? Regardless, the trade is objectively the worst in NHL history. Yeah. Way worse.
Well, it's not the worst in Canucks history. He says
way worse than the Neely trade, as it has basically destroyed our cap for many years. So that second piece.
Well,
there,
unless Dylan Gunther becomes a Hall of Famer.
No, but the second piece there, it's you can't compare the two because
different rules.
Exactly. The OEL trade was bad because of how what it's done to the salary cap. That was in consideration with the Cam Neely trade. Like the Cam Neely trade, you gave up on a player that
you can still argue it.
Definitely,
the Neely trade. I mean, you traded somebody who's from Vancouver, Maple Ridge to be exact, who went on to become a Hall of Famer, one of the best players in hockey,
and movie star,
and movie star.
Yeah. Okay. So one thing we haven't talked about yet today, guys, and that is the All-Star rosters yesterday released for the National Hockey League. Of course, the game coming up. It's in Florida, right? Yeah, it's in Florida.
It is. February 3rd.
Yeah. So Pettersson is the Canucks representative. A lot of people up in arms over that because it should have been
NHL Hockey Operations Department made that call yesterday.
So over Bo Horvat. Now, Horvat could still get in because there's this Twitter fan vote that's ongoing now that you can vote in. I can't remember how many players, but you're going to vote in so many.
It's a three?
Yeah, per division, right?
Yep.
So Horvat could definitely get there depending on if Canuck fans vote enough to get him there. I was quite surprised yesterday when I saw Pettersson over Horvat. I understand the star factor with Elias Pettersson, and maybe nationally, if national writers and people with the league were to pick one player on the Canucks roster that's an all-star, you might go with Pettersson.
What do you mean you can understand these?
Because Pettersson might be more of a sexy all-star than Horvat, despite all the goals Horvat's putting up.
Why?
Wouldn't you see that?
I think they took the player that's been the best overall player in Vancouver this year.
That's what I mean.
Yeah, and more points, better plus minus.
And I think he's.
But you think Pettersson has more of a star quality?
Yes. Yes.
Really?
I do. I think Horvat's a bit more muted. And that's nothing. I mean, it's just a different style. That's fine. But anyway, so.
Well, do you think Pettersson has this outrageous personality?
There's more flash with Pettersson. Wouldn't you say?
Like
with his
Horvat's
goals,
more of an old school player.
Yeah,
I'd say that.
Like with his, I'd say Pettersson has more highlight reel goals in Vancouver than Bo Horvat.
Well, Bo's got 9 multi-goal games. That's pretty.
And he's had big goals. I mean, look at in the bubble. Yeah,
I'll give you that.
So anyway, so that's what's going on with the Vancouver Canucks, and the vote is going on now. But a couple things with the All-Star game that I want to get to. First of all, this tweet from Greg Wyshynski of ESPN, one of Donnie's favorites. Some NHL All-Star game jersey T. So T, you guys might not understand this. T, when he says that, it's like rumors, speculation, gossip.
So where it's another word for rumors.
Where does T come from?
T is like a saying, like when people say spill the tea, it's like spill the gossip.
So how
Derek
old,
knows,
how
like
old
me.
Is Greg Wyshynski? However you say his name.
I couldn't tell you. Probably 40s easily.
He's just an older guy trying to be cool.
He might be. But anyway.
See, I'm okay with not being cool.
He tweeted out, heard this year's jerseys are going to be reverse retro jersey inspired. So you
so
think
some old NHL All-Star game reverse retro?
I mean, that would be pretty sweet.
Well, remember when they had the black and orange jerseys every year? Some of them were pretty hot.
That's it. Well, and the one where John Garrett almost won the MVP before Gretzky won.
Nice looking jersey.
Yeah, that was
the
nice.
The NHL colors were black and orange
right.
back in the day.
Yeah, well, yeah. A lot of people are responding.
The good old days.
A lot of people have responded to Greg's tweet by saying, just bring these back.
Mm. Yeah.
There's a lot of people that are fond of
that. I think is this the those one of them I think will be the Campbell jersey that John Garrett wore.
Yeah.
I think that's the same. The yeah. When Gretzky stole those the nice. Player of the game honor and the truck away from him.
Those are pretty nice. The most memorable All-Star jersey for me as a kid, and this might have been the game in Vancouver. Mm-hmm. If I'm not mistaken.
99?
Were these jerseys here? The photo's a little low res. But you remember these jerseys?
I don't think that was Vancouver. Those are horrid.
But they're the ones
that's kind of a play on the old Dallas Stars.
A little bit, a little bit, yeah. But it was kind of like, that's my recollection.
You know which one I loved? And it was Todd Bertuzzi who represented the Canucks. And I believe it was in Minnesota. And it was kind of the first time where an All-Star game or a team went to the kind of the cream-colored jerseys. And they just had East and West.
Yeah.
It was, I don't know if you remember it, but it was really, really cool. I just simple and nice. It was a retro before retro was cool. I can't remember what year it was. But
wait, hold on.
I'm not explaining it well.
Was it these jerseys right here? I mean, it must have been. This is him in the All-Star.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's nice.
That's nice. That's really cool. Is that Minnesota?
Yeah.
Yep.
Hence the green.
04.
Well, that's a good look.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, that's so close to. What about
so
this?
Close to what?
Hey, what about this? What if they just wore all the reverse retros from their teams?
What, dark uniforms, white uniforms.
Yeah, just everybody, just a
well,
mismatch.
Well, not everybody has a.
Because the NFL.
Well, not all the reverse retros are. Some are white.
Right,
some are,
so
yeah,
what?
So it's a mix.
Because
well, you want to know what team you're playing on.
Everybody loves the NFL when they wear their helmets. Mm. Like all the team helmets are on
that's
the field at the same
time.
That's
different, but the jerseys are all the same.
Yeah.
The pants are all the same. That is up there with one of your worst suggestions.
Worst. Well, and ultimately it comes down to cash, and the NHL can come up with a new jersey and sell it. But hey, if it is anything like the Panthers reverse retro, I think it should look good,
gosh.
Right? I mean,
more powder blue.
With the powder blue, yeah. But anyway, okay, so that's that with the jerseys. But John Tortorella is apparently a massive fan of the All-Star game. So Travis Konecny did not make the All-Star team for the Philadelphia Flyers. It was Kevin Hayes.
Yeah.
Kevin Hayes is the representative out of Philly. And so Torts was asked yesterday, literally right after the All-Star rosters were out, about Travis Konecny not being named an All-Star.
John, TK has been arguably your most consistent player all year long. Are you disappointed that he didn't make the All-Star team tonight? They announced the team.
I didn't worry about that. The way the whole game, the whole weekend, I don't even watch it. I think it's turned into I'll just leave it at that. I really don't care.
Do you think that he's deserving
I really don't care. Talk about All-Star stuff, okay?
So Torts apparently a massive fan.
Sell the product.
He stopped himself, and if he didn't stop himself, I was curious where he was going with it because he apparently
I could guess
apparently hated it. Now the one thing I'll say to Torts, and he really well done selling the game. I will say I prefer these mini games they play now.
Oh yeah,
over the full on game with no hitting, and ends up being 25-19.
Yeah,
like that's
well, look what's happened to the NFL.
Yes, Pro Bowl games.
Pro Bowl games versus an actual football game.
Right,
that's called the Pro Bowl.
Yeah,
way better.
The 3-on-3 mini games. Better.
I've said it for a long time, and you know, again, it'll happen somewhere down the line. They'll do this. Just have the skills.
Yeah,
skills are great to watch.
Yeah, but that's only one night of activities.
That's true,
right? I mean, corporately, they want a second night. I mean, look at the Pro Bowl, right? The Pro Bowl have their skills still. Alongside these Pro Bowl games with dodgeball and everything else.
The Pro Bowl games, it's going to be flag.
Yes,
right?
Flag football, yeah.
I guess 3-on-3 would be the equivalent.
Yeah.
Tough to have a flag hockey game.
The skills competition still holds up.
Tough to have a flag hockey game.
We never know.
Yeah.
The skills competition still holds up. And ultimately, as Donnie has said, much like mascots It's ultimately for kids.
Mascot game. Now we're talking.
I think they do that.
They have that.
Yeah. Well,
they,
right?
Yeah.
Like it's part of the weekend.
Oh, it's funny.
Yeah.
Always good.
Yeah.
You know, inevitably one of the mascots' heads falls off.
Yeah.
Well, always funny.
And then you have the one mascot taking it way too seriously.
Yeah. Or the one mascot who's clearly better than everybody else.
Yeah.
By the way, not a great last 24 hours. I know the Canucks won last night, but Horvat doesn't get picked by the Canucks doesn't get picked as the Canucks rep.
Right.
Konechny, Horvat's cousin.
Cousin.
Doesn't get picked as the Flyers rep.
Yeah.
Put that in your pipe.
Yeah. Smoke it.
Coming up next, we recap Canada's gold medal victory in Halifax. By the way, the scene at the World Juniors, just unbelievable with the host city or cities there. Hosting the World Junior.
It's unbelievable that a Canadian city would be really happy that Canada won.
We've talked about this. You don't get those vibes if you have the game here at Rogers Arena or in Edmonton again or wherever. Big city. Doesn't work. Smaller cities are better. But we talked to Button about Canada winning the gold, Dylan Gunther, and much more. It's next. It's Donnie Dolly, the team on check.
Finally, Gunther can get a date with Rachel. Who tweeted that out last night?
Yeah.
We're going to talk about Team Canada's gold medal win over Czechia in a bit with Craig Button. All of our guests today, including Craig, standing by, brought to you by the Waddling Dog Pub, one of Victoria's favorite local pubs, located 10 minutes from the ferry. The two-time number one pub in Victoria invites you to see why they are a go-to watering hole. The Waddling Dog is the best place for all of your Canucks and NHL action, any sorts of sports, with extended hours so you don't have to miss any of the action. Come, sit, and stay at the Waddling Dog Pub, as we're joined by, in the wake of Canada's victory over Czechia, by Craig Button, TSN scouting director. Craig, Happy New Year. Thanks for doing this. How are you?
I'm very good. Happy New Year to you both, and I'm doing very well. Hope the same for everybody there.
How entertaining was that tournament, especially from a Canadian point of view, Craig? I thought Halifax did a great job, and Moncton.
Yeah, Donnie, they did. You know, when you think about the World Junior Tournament, And we think about hockey in this great country of ours, this big country of ours. You know, hockey connects communities. And, you know, when you go into the Atlantic provinces and Halifax and Moncton specifically, you know, they want to show that they're a really proud community in our country. And if we start to just only go to the big communities, we diminish the smaller communities. And what everybody wants to do is feel connected. And I think that it's important to have the tournament in these types of venues, in these types of geographical locations, with this type of passion. I mean, it was unbelievable to be in Moncton and to be in Halifax, and the enthusiasm was right off the charts. And outside of Moncton, they had an outdoor skating rink. They had a TV set up for the Canada games at night after we were done. Food trucks, bands playing. Halifax was the same. I mean, it was just... It was, as the kids would say, it was bumping. Mm-hmm. And then you get into the building. After the goal went in last night by Dylan Gunther for the overtime goal, I'm standing up in the catwalk doing the broadcast, and you could just feel it shaking underneath you. And there was a time in that third period where the fans were sitting on their hands, and there was this tension you could feel in the building. But you know, I think seeing it all unfold the way it did. And, you know, one of the moments that really caught my eye, guys, and I think this is a reminder that we can never forget when it comes to this country and what hockey means to it. It's about the kids, and it's about the kids being involved. It's about the kids having good role models. It's about the kids being excited about, you know, not only watching, but potentially one day playing. So after the bronze medal game in Halifax, on January 5th, Thursday, they got to clear out the whole rink. Everybody's got to exit. And everybody's cleaning up. So just about an hour before the game, a little less than an hour, people come into the building. And so right where the Canadian team comes out on the ice, all you saw was kids, like hundreds of kids running to get to that spot so they could watch those players, get a firsthand glimpse of those players coming out on the ice. And to me, and it was kids. That's who it was. Yep. And that, to me, is what this sport is, what it means, and we can never forget it.
Mm-hmm. Craig, well said, by the way. Thomas Milich is from this part of the world. He's from Coquitlam, obviously one of Canada's top performers at the World Juniors. Hasn't been drafted yet. How come? In the NHL.
Yeah, I would say it's pretty simple, and I think, you know, NHL teams are looking for a certain height with goaltenders, and we can argue whether that's fair or whether it's not fair. I mean, and you know what's really interesting, Donnie and Rick, is think about the performance Yus Saros put on in the game on Thursday versus Carolina. And let's not forget Yus Saros won a World Junior gold medal in 2014 with Finland. So, I mean, he ended up being drafted, I think, in the fourth or fifth round. I think for Thomas, and what I would continuously remind him of, you can't do anything about your height. You can't do anything about the way people view you. So just keep proving yourself. Just keep proving yourself along the line. It might be a longer path. There's goaltenders his height that play in the NHL. He's clearly shown a capability. And, you know, whether you want to just say, hey, the height doesn't matter, it does. That's the rationale. Should it? Not necessarily so, but it's still Thomas's opportunity to just keep showing what you got. And you know what he's done? He's shown that he's got a lot in his game, and that is what matters the most. And, you know, I think that for Thomas and other goaltenders of his stature, you start to go, well, geez, my job is to stop the puck. Why should it matter what my height is? And they're right. But, you know, that's the reality. So I don't think Thomas doubts himself, nor should he, and just keep tracking along. That's what I would tell him.
Craig, Jonathan Lekaramäki, Canuck draft pick, didn't have a great tournament. Your thoughts on what you saw in terms of what's going on with this kid?
Yeah, I don't think there's anything going on, Rick. You know, he'd been injured a little bit in the Swedish league, and I think that he didn't have his legs underneath him, so to speak, in terms of a rhythm of playing and whatnot. But I think what's very clear when you watch Jonathan play is that he's got a really good skill set, and he's got a really good brain for the game. And I think you come to the tournament and you start to see it as an opportunity to not only show how good you are, but you test yourself against other good players. I can't begin to tell you, and let me just say this, hundreds of 18-year-olds I've seen come to this tournament that were really good players that had different struggles, I'll call them. But then they come back the next year, and it's like, wow. And this is a best-on-best tournament. And I don't think there's anything negative with Jonathan. And if I hadn't seen it previously, I might say it was. But I've seen it, like I said, so much with so many players and good players. Mm. And that's just what ends up happening because of the quality of competition.
Craig, you can understand in this city after watching Connor Bedard and what he did, and you know, everybody in this city, tank for Bedard, Craig. It's very tough for the Canucks management, is it not, to flip midway through the season and go for a tank, or what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I think that, I mean, the tank is really, I mean, what you're looking at, how do you get to the bottom of the standings to get the best odds, right? And that really what it is. And so that would be difficult for the Vancouver Canucks, I think, at this stage of the game. So, but let's not forget what the problem, what the challenge is for the Vancouver Canucks. They have to look at their team and look at real significant ways to improve it because, you know, as they move along and they continuously show, you know, they show some good things because they have talent, but they're not a team that should be taken seriously as any type of contender. I'll even say as a playoff contender. Could they get in the playoffs? Maybe they could, but they're not a Stanley Cup contender. So I think the real evaluation has to come from within where you say, listen, we can't just keep straddling the line here. We can't just keep being this team that's sitting here in the middle because where they sit is nowhere. And the last place you want to be in the National Hockey League is nowhere. You either want to be at the bottom where you go, okay, we're looking up. Like, everybody's excited in Chicago. They're the worst team in the league, and they're excited because they're looking at, oh, God, look, we had all these guys. Look at the Canadian defense. We had three of our prospects on the blue line. Oh, we might have a chance at Bedard. People in Vancouver don't feel that way.
Yeah.
And that's what happens when you're nowhere, because they have no chance for the cup and they have no chance to get, you know, this promise coming. And fans in Vancouver are passionate. They want to see their team do well. And when you're in that land of nowhere, it's the worst place you can be. Get out of it, is what I would say.
Hear, hear. Okay, Greg, one more very quickly. Back to the World Junior Tournament. Joshua Waugh, we saw him set up the gold medal winning goal. He was one of Canada's best players. Fifth round draft pick, Montreal 2021. What's in his hockey future? He looks great.
Donnie, he does look great. I'm going to try to wrap this up real quick.
Yep.
Joshua Waugh was the first overall pick in the Quebec League draft. I watched him play in Midget. He was a terrific player. He ended up in St. John with the Sea Dogs. And after a season and a half there, he said, this isn't a place for me. It's not working. And so he said that he was leaving. And, he said, if you trade me, great. If you don't, I'll stop playing hockey. That's what he basically was prepared to do. Because he took control of his career, Don. And whether you agree with him or you don't agree with him, the young man took control of his career and he said, this isn't working for me. And he looked to find a better path for him. He was a fifth-round draft pick because, you know, even though he started to show some of those things that last half of the year, you know, he was still trying to find his game. And the Montreal Canadiens have an outstanding player in Joshua Waugh. And I think the real lesson here is don't close your eyes to players that might be struggling a little bit. That might go Rick back to Lakarimaki. If they got the talent, help them find it. And, you know, a player that takes control of his career, a person that takes control of their career and believes in themselves, don't doubt yourselves, even though others may.
I said Happy New Year earlier. Also, happy birthday. I saw the shots from Mount Assiniboine. They looked tremendous. So Happy New Year. Happy birthday, Craig, and thanks for doing this.
Happy 49th.
39th.
Yeah. Hey, Rick, I feel 40, but I certainly don't look 40.
We're on the same boat, pal.
You look good. I'll trade you any day, Craig. Thanks for doing this.
Thank you.
Yeah, you bet. Craig Button. For people who aren't aware of what happened last night in Carolina, Craig alluded to it. 5-3 for the Predators over the Hurricanes. UC Saros made 64 saves. He's 5'11", 180. So Thomas Milic is actually bigger than UC Saros. Thomas is 6 feet even, 175, which is around, just the game has changed a lot. We talked about it yesterday, which is around the same dimensions as Patrick Roy.
Yeah, but they love their goalies. They're all teams, even in juniors, 6'3", 6'4". Everyone's got to be 6'3", 6'4" now. It's just the way it goes with these scouts. They love size, Donnie.
Yep, Thatcher Demko, Jacob Markstrom. Wow. We've seen it here in Vancouver. Poll question. We'll update it, and we'll talk about Dylan Gunther next. Donnie and Dolly, the team on check.
Donnie and Dolly, the team is supported by AbleAuctions.ca. Closing your business? We can help.
Huey Lewis there on Friday.
Huey was great.
Back to the Future.
Sports.
Do we wait
this
for it?
Album was sports, Donnie. Yeah. It was so good.
Okay. We good? You happy? Yeah. Bet99.net poll question. Every game begins at bet99.net.
Ryan, I don't know what you're waiting for. Get her up. The bet99.net poll question. What should the Canucks do with Andrei Kuzmenko? 1,600 votes already, 69% say extend him. And the only scenario where you can see them trading him, Don, is if they come up to the trade deadline and they're far apart in contract talks, then you got to do it. But otherwise, if you get a feeling from Dan Milstein that you're close, you're in the neighborhood, you keep him.
Right, but then you also got to keep Horvat, maybe Shen. There's only so much room with the salary cap only going up so much.
That's it. And they're tied up against the cap. There's no question.
And you know, and then there's that tax on the foreign buyers. Do you want to explain that?
I am not touching the foreigner buyers house tax crap. I don't know anything about it.
Well, you touched on it earlier.
It was
Milstein. Ripped.
Milstein says the foreigner buyers tax whatever is affecting his clients. I don't know anything about it. I don't Google it. I don't care about it.
Andre would like to settle down and buy a house in Vancouver.
Well, he had a client that was going to buy a house in Vancouver, but the tax, it was too much. And he said, no, I'm not going to do it.
Donnie and Dolly, meanwhile, presented by Able Auctions. Able Auctions has a busy start to the new year. January 10th, next week, Able will sell the contents of a wood shop. A wood shop.
Oh.
Featuring late model, top quality equipment. January 12th, Able will sell the contents of a commercial laundry facility. Laundry facility, along with construction great. Equipment. They really are. When's the last time you did the laundry? Like, honest to God.
Oh, I do it all the time, every second, third day.
Including six brand new mini excavators, this, as we go on to construction equipment here. January 14th, Able will sell the contents of a Parksville music store. Several flutes up for sale. For information on the Glockenspiel. For information on, I don't see the flutes.
Where do you see the flutes?
I was told by Jeremy Dodd there are flutes available.
Oh, there's flutes? Okay, I don't see. Yeah. I just see guitars and drums.
Yeah, one owned by Ian Anderson at one point. For information on these auctions, go to ableauctions.ca. To get your business assets sold, email sales at ableauctions.ca. You've got some business before we talk about Dylan Gunther.
Yeah. Pastime Sports, your place for the newest card drops.
And your bad take on that.
I wonder if they got a Dylan Gunther card. Sports memorabilia from any area, era, autograph. See, you cut me off. This is what you do. You just let me go. Autographed items.
You have
items.
To be able to roll with it.
Nah, but you cut me off. Autographed items, trading cards, and collectible games all available at one of their four locations. You got Langley. Oh, Metrotown. Tuas Mills. They shopped and moved it around. It's so beautiful. Guilford Mall. January 30th. Canucks legend Trevor Linden will be at Guilford Mall 4 to 6 for an exclusive autograph event. Get all the details about this event and browse their massive collection at pastimesports.ca. Trevor Linden right there. Get in there, 4 to 6, January 30th. Get an autograph.
It's a tremendous business. Trevor Linden is also at a Chilliwack Chiefs game. Is he not?
Chilliwack Chiefs game coming up. He's going to be at a Chiefs game, yep.
Okay, we'll get the information on that as well. Good?
No. We got to do what's in front of the laptop.
Well, go ahead, Rick.
Why, can I see what's in front of the laptop? That's Ryan's job.
I don't know.
This Saturday, by the way, Linden is at the Chiefs game.
Yeah.
Apparently in the first and second intermission, you can meet Trevor. He's launching a new Club 16.
Well, why don't we go there and interview him? Ask him.
Well, go ahead.
Go for it. You're in the area.
Yeah, I'm you're usually in the cornfield.
Chilliwack's far away. Come on.
In front of the laptop, because I forgot to change it, is the Nathan MacKinnon pop figurine. Last night, of course, the Avs lose to the Canucks. But the card today is looking ahead.
Oh.
As the Canucks take on the Jets on Sunday at noon. By the way, I'm a big fan of these alternate times for games like the Jets are doing on Sunday. Mm-hmm. The card today, Randy Carlyle.
Look at that old Jets uniform.
Look at the so flow.
Nice. Maybe a little too Rangerish, but pretty nice.
And Randy was a good defenseman. He wanted to become a good coach as well.
People forget that Randy Carlyle... A one-time winner of the Norris Trophy when he was with the Pittsburgh Penguins.
Yes.
Not just a coach, a fine hockey player in his day.
Really good hockey player.
Defenseman. Okay, Dylan Gunther gets the winning goal. In fact, he got two goals yesterday, but he got the winning goal in overtime for Team Canada yesterday as Canada defeats Czechia by a score of 3-2 in OT. And, of course, that sparked a lot of discussion amongst people in Canuck Nation. Like, here's the kid who was picked ninth overall, in 2021, with a pick the Canucks gave up to Arizona in the OEL Garland deal. Yeah. Should that upset Canuck fans? I know he's had a run at the NHL level this year, has done fairly well, and you saw how well he played for Team Canada, not just yesterday, but throughout the whole tournament. Should that bother Canuck fans?
Yeah, it should bother Canuck fans. And look,
you're going against what you said earlier.
He's young. I'm still, listen, you guys are saying Gunther. I don't know. We don't have evidence that the Canucks were going to take Gunther at nine, unless you do, Donnie, unless you can text.
Well, Thomas didn't. You didn't.
No, Thomas didn't have evidence. Yeah, unless
that's
you
what
can
I'm
call
saying.
It, yeah. We don't have evidence they could have taken Gunther. Here's where I'm pissed off. Why put that pick in play for OEL in the first place? If you go to the Canucks 2020 entry draft, first pick was Yoni Yermu, third round. Anyways, there is a pretty good chance the Canucks may not have a player from the 2020 NHL draft that actually plays in Vancouver.
We're talking 2021.
Okay, I'm going to get to it. Okay. So you know 2020, you didn't have a pick in rounds one and two. Why would you cough up the ninth overall pick in 2021? That's where my anger is with this team, in putting the ninth overall pick in play.
Donnie, that's what bothers me.
You don't know if they would have picked Dylan Gunther.
You don't
but
know
you
that.
Do know that they would have had the ninth overall pick. And yeah. I think that's what bothers people.
Absolutely.
Is that, you know, people want to see, call it a rebuild, build for the future.
That's it.
At the very least.
That's it.
And I think it's not so much Dylan Gunther, it's what he represents.
Yes.
It's the Canucks trying to go for it
that's
right
it.
Now when they really don't have a chance at being a true cup contender, which is what people want. The other thing, too, is and Jim Benning, and I have respect for Jim.
Yep.
I know a lot of people don't. I do.
He had a lot of good moves, too.
It seems like he got obsessed with players like Michael Ferland and how well Michael Ferland did in 2015.
Back.
And I'm not knocking Michael Ferland. He's got some issues that we can only imagine. But he was obsessed with him. Do you remember a year before 2021 and 2020, there was – obvious interest in Oliver Ekman-Larsson going way back then.
Yep.
So he really was focused on him. So he ends up getting him, and it cost them in a big, big way. They're still hurting from that with all the cap restrictions that they have.
No first and second rounder in 2020. No first in 2021. That's hurting the team right now. There's no question about it, Donnie.
Mm-hmm. Mike from Nanaimo, Delaney's okay, Tyron Langley inbox. Gents, I'm a lawyer. It's a foreign buyer's ban, not a tax. I kept calling it a tax, so I apologize for that.
Okay.
And again, you're not going to explain it, so.
Look, we barely got past grade 12. How am I going to explain a buyer's tax, a foreign, this housing stuff? I got nothing to do with it.
Mike, it says from the PI, is that right? Okay, anyway. Didn't McGillney live in Point Roberts when he was a Canuck?
Yeah, a lot
that
of Canucks say, did.
Solve the foreign buyer's tax. There's only so many houses.
Messier did.
Yeah.
John Tortorella did.
Dave Nonis did.
A lot
even
of
though he's from Burnaby.
They would cross the border into Point Roberts all the time.
Okay, but is that the best situation?
Well,
last time I checked, you talk about a long drive to Chilliwack. That's a long drive into Rogers Arena.
To Point Roberts?
Yes.
No, it's
Focus.
Not. If you go through the tunnel,
what?
It's not that far.
If you go through the tunnel, because that's so easy.
Are you
easy?
Trying to tell me that Point Roberts is farther than Chilliwack? Come on, Don.
Okay, forget Chilliwack for a second. Point Roberts versus living downtown, which a lot of players do.
Once you get through the tunnel, you're right there.
Yeah, but are you saying the tunnel is an easy get?
No, it depends on what time of the day you go through it. I go through the tunnel every day of the week, Don.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that bad.
Well, if it's not that bad, why are they changing it?
Okay.
Or are they supposed to be anyway?
You guys might have mentioned this. I wasn't really paying attention. Torts, of course, in Point Roberts as well.
Yeah, we just said that.
Are you paying attention to us?
No, because I'm doing something much more depressing. I'm looking at the Canucks draft history, which I really should not do.
Yeah.
Like, since 2011.
That's what I'm saying.
It's truly awful.
Like, really, well, not much better before that either.
No, but I'm just.
And then you get somebody good like Neely, and you trade him.
I'm just going back to that time, though.
Are you going through the Jensen, Schrader?
Just all of it. It's just.
They had about five years where they didn't have a first round.
Years of nothing.
That's right, Ryan.
A full draft class of nothing. Really?
And I'm going to tell you this 2020 draft. People are saying that the Canucks are not going to have. Their first pick was 82.
You just said this.
I know, but
tunnel boy.
The tunnel's not bad, Donnie. But listen, this 2020 draft, they might not have a player, and where they are right now, that's going to be hard to stomach.
And we've talked about it. The other massive thing when it comes to the draft and the Vancouver Canucks is, in recent times, they've hit on first rounders.
Pedersen,
Hughes drops to them.
Besser,
Drury's out, whatever.
Well,
you look at other teams, and what's the main storyline of success when teams have success?
Well, see, the drafting and/or development.
This guy was a fourth or fifth round draft pick, and
we just talked about him.
Or whatever. Yeah, and
Ryan,
like
every team's got hits and misses.
But this franchise in particular, though, doesn't seem to have any of those gold mine guys.
Well, but then you're in a way backing up the deal for Oliver Ekman-Larsson and Connor Garland, saying that they wouldn't have picked the right guy anyway.
Well, right? I believe
that was still the Benning era.
I'm on Drantz's side with that. I don't necessarily know that they would have done right with that ninth overall pick anyway. Who knows what they would have done with it?
Okay, given what we know now, if you're a Canuck fan, you'd like to see them give it a shot.
Okay? Put it this way. I would take a missed ninth overall draft pick and no OEL and Garland over what has occurred. That's what I would take.
Mm-hmm. DTMZ next. Donnie Dolly, the team on chat. Able Auction specializes in helping British Columbia-based business owners close their business and sell their assets in a timely, orderly manner.
Online events for everything from machine shop and manufacturing auctions to industrial equipment, retail inventories, or any other type of business assets, Able Auctions can help.
For a free confidential consultation on getting your business assets sold, please email sales@ableauctions.ca. That's sales@ablauctions.ca.
It's 11:35 on a Friday morning. Donnie and Dolly on Check TV. Now time for DTMZ, brought to you by the world-famous Whistler Golf Club. Go see Big Al out there. Great track, great track.
DTMZ, as Rick said, brought to you by the Arnold Palmer Design Whistler Golf Club, celebrating 40 years of public play in 2023. Book your group of 12 or more now, and the group organizer plays for free. See that gentleman teeing off there?
Yeah.
You know how he got to Whistler?
How?
Through the tunnel. From Point Roberts. Send us your group details and request at whistlergolf.com /groups. You're getting just carved.
No, I'm not.
Well, a couple of people agree with you on your take, Point Roberts versus Chilliwack.
Hold it a second. I got a shot at you, and I'm going to, because somebody Googled it, it's right here. Chilliwack to Rogers Arena, 1 hour, 17 minutes. Point Roberts to Rogers Arena, 47 minutes. Thank you.
I'd rather deal with the Portman Bridge than the tunnel.
Oh, no.
From my experience.
Portman's awful. Awful.
Well, on a snowy day or an icy day, it certainly is.
Yeah, no kidding.
Okay. Where are we going? Queen?
Yeah.
Right. Queen. Founding member and guitarist Brian May received a knighthead. Knighthead. That's what? A band name.
Knighthead.
Derek, mark it down.
Knighthead.
Knighthead.
What's a knighthead?
Or is it a movie you saw once? Received a...
Red Shoe Diaries.
Medieval. Yeah. Received a knighthood as part of the UK's New Year honors list. The list, which was released a couple of Fridays ago, or last Friday, is the first under King Charles III. Right. And includes over 1,000 new knights. Doesn't that take away from your honor? Over 1,000 people get knighted.
I kind of thought that was a small, exclusive club. But I guess we only hear with, like, the celebs. Like McCartney, Elton John.
Sure.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's Brian. You got the clip? There you go.
I just come on here to say thank you so much for all your messages of congratulations following the announcement of my knighthood. I'm very thrilled and very touched by the love that's come from you and the support. I will do my very best to be worthy.
I didn't really need to run that clip. I just wanted to see his hair.
That is
him in button.
Very similar, as a matter of fact.
Good
separated
call.
At birth, maybe.
Yeah.
Brian's a little bit longer. Brian, hair-wise. Brian May is also an animal welfare advocate, so it's not just about music.
Yeah.
He also has a PhD in astrophysics, which was brought up in Bohemian Rhapsody, the movie, officially named a CBE Knight's Bachelor for services to music and to charity. You know what? I could watch that Bohemian Rhapsody. And the reviews on that movie aren't that great. I could watch it over and over again. I loved it.
Yeah, I loved it. Tremendous.
Well,
I thought it
and
was
listen
great.
To their albums as well.
Yeah.
Okay, birthdays. It is January, what is it today, the 6th?
Yeah.
It is. We have 8 birthdays. The line is being set at 8. You guys were good yesterday. Your cheating worked well. Derek was in there.
No, I don't cheat.
Helping you out. The line is set by 4-foot Randy's Exotic Pets Chili House and Casino in Mount Pearl, Newfoundland.
There was a kid on the Canadian team yesterday. That's from Mount Pearl.
Stop it.
Yeah, I did.
Really?
They said it right there on television last night.
They said Mount Pearl?
They said Mount Pearl.
I missed it?
No, they didn't. Did they actually?
Do I have to do this now? Do I have to Google the Canadian team and look at
how much crown were you having last night?
Google the Canadian team and look at where they're from. Mount Pearl, just like Terry Ryan, the former Tri-City American and Quesnel millionaire.
Zach Dean.
Yeah.
He is?
Again.
No.
Yeah, you guys never, ever.
Well, there's a good reason
believe
for that.
What I say. That just pisses me off to no end. You think they're going to make that up? Make that up?
I wonder if he's been to 4-foot Randy's.
We'll get him on the show. Ask him that one question, and then say thanks.
Thanks
get
for
him
joining us. Okay, rock and roll. English actor who plays Mr. Bean.
Oh,
I don't know his name.
Rowan Atkinson.
Mr. Bean's good movie.
Yeah, Rowan Atkinson.
Atkins, that's it.
Also known as I don't know his name. Actor who played Daryl Dixon in The Walking Dead. He's also in the Vacation remake.
No idea.
NR. Nothing? Hey, Big Shot. Voice of God. Anything? No?
I did not watch that show.
English actor won an Oscar for portraying Stephen Hawking in 2014's The Theory of Everything.
Eddie Redmayne?
I'm going to give it to you, Voice of God. Eddie Redmayne. SNL cast member for 11 seasons. By the way, that line was set at 8. You and Rick, not doing
well. Well, hasn't been one hockey player. All English actors.
SNL cast member for 11 seasons. Known for her impersonation of Hillary Clinton. Major roles in the movies Yesterday and Bombshell.
Yeah.
N, or maybe got K-M. We're going to pass on that one. Late co-founder, rhythm guitarist, songwriter, backup vocalist for AC/DC, often called the brains of the group.
Malcolm Young.
Yes, that's right. New Orleans Saints quarterback out of Florida State.
Kate McKinnon, by the way.
Very good.
Yeah.
What, did somebody just text
you? No. The wheels were just moving slowly.
Saints quarterback out of Florida State, drafted first overall Tampa Bay in 2015. Jameis Winston, right. Fox NFL analyst, friend of the show. Spent 13 years as a defensive end with the Raiders in both Oakland and L.A. Number 75 in your lucky number program. Pro volleyball player from California, Rick. She was the first person to model the expansion Vancouver Grizzlies uniforms.
Initials.
G.R.
Gabrielle Reese.
Gabrielle Reese.
Derek, quick on the draw.
There wasn't one hockey player. Like, just ridiculous.
Okay, but there was somebody from the 80s, wasn't there?
Who?
Well, Howie Long.
Howie Long. Yeah. Howie was great.
Norman Reedus.
That was the Walking
sort of
Dead?
The anti-hero in The Walking Dead? Yeah. And again, he was in that remake of Vacation with Ed Helms, which got horrible reviews. One of the funniest movies I've seen in the last 10 years.
Incredible.
It was incredible. It was incredible. You're right. Okay, Is It Just Me is coming up. Submissions into the Delaney's OK Tyron Langley inbox. The late Malcolm Young, we just talked about him, born on this day in 1953, is going to play us out. You got the song going?
Yeah, hold on. Give me 1 second.
Oh, look who's sleeping. It's Friday. He's got 1 foot out the door.
And he's going to help play us out. October 76 in the album with the same name. This is Malcolm Young and AC/DC and Dirty Deeds Done Dirt Cheap on Check. Just ring 362-436. On a BC, what is it? Yeah, Friday morning, AC/DC. Is It Just Me next? Donnie Dolly, the team on Check. Is It Just Me? Brought to you by Quinsam Communications Group, located in the salmon capital of the world, Campbell River, and now servicing the West Coast Island communities. Stay tuned for updates on their new location opening soon in Port Alberni. For more info, visit quinsamcommunications.ca. Quinsam Communications Group, connecting people through technology. You're in the wilderness. You want to get in touch with people? Quinsam can help you out.
Best place to be.
In the tunnel. It's hard to get a phone call through. Quinsam. Both Quinsam locations now have Donnie and Dolly merchandise, including hats, hoodies, T-shirts, and more. Do we have the shot of the merchandise there?
At D&D? Look at that. There
you
beautiful.
Go.
Just beautiful.
In case you haven't seen a T-shirt before.
So nice. Donnie, that's the bad thing about the tunnel. If you're listening to a good song and then you got to go in, the song just goes out. That's the only part of the tunnel that sucks.
Is it just me?
Ryan, tweet. Let's show it. Look at this. Adam.
Love that dog.
Look at Adam. Look at Adam. Coffee or crown to break in the new mug. Happy Friday, Donnie and Dolly. That's Adam. Thank you so much. A beautiful dog in the background. We don't know the name of the dog, but we do know the name of that mug. Thank you so much, sir.
You know the name of the mug?
Well, the mug, a Donnie and Dolly mug.
Okay.
Yeah, that's what it is. Ryan, photo number two.
People going around naming their mugs. Okay, photo. Yeah,
that's Tim.
A
coffee that's mug. Right. Well, it's a coffee yeah. mug. Ryan, could photo. Be. This is a beauty. I love this. Wow. Here's how we celebrate our World Juniors in sunny Eastgate, Manning Park,
All the best in the new year to Donnie and Dolly and the team. And I'd like to thank my lovely wife of 50 years for my hoodie and the toque from Big B. Big B, look at that. Does that not speak?
How Canadian is that?
How Canadian is that?
That inflatable is wicked.
Manning Park.
Pardon me?
That inflatable is wicked.
And, of course, you have a thing for inflatables.
I do, yeah.
I don't mean that the way it sounds.
Yeah.
People out there might be thinking differently than I am.
Yes.
Yeah. But if in terms, you like your Christmas inflatables.
I do, yeah.
Yeah.
Rick, what else
you
got?
That's Big B there. Thank you for that photo. Manning Park,
Big
beautiful.
B being the Big B. Not the inflatable.
The gentleman.
Big B's with the Donnie Dolly hat. Okay, Ryan,
does
go.
Does he have a name for his mug is the big question. Yeah. Go.
All right. Is it just me? Just when the hometown fan base is ready to accept a Canucks tank, they go out and show up with a dominant effort last night against the Avalanche. We're getting a lot of this today. You know,
What did Craig Button say?
Yeah, okay. But we're getting a lot of this today. Oh, they only won because the Avalanche had injuries. Well, they've beaten the Avalanche twice this year, once in Colorado, once here, Donnie. And they can't lose properly. I mean, I just don't know any professional athlete, Don, that goes out and says, let's lose tonight. Mm-hmm. I don't know how you can do it. We're getting a lot of that.
Jeeves from Surrey, is it just me, but does the World Junior Championship trophy look too small for its significance as a World Championship trophy? You know, I think teams, and I feel the same way about the Super Bowl trophy, the Vince Lombardi trophy, World Series, NBA, World Cup to some extent, although that thing's gold, so pretty impressive. But you'd think people would look at the Stanley Cup, and I'm a hockey guy, maybe I'm biased, but and say, you know, that should be, that's
smaller?
The prototype. That's what
you mean that's the right size, yeah.
Well, just the look, everything, the fact that you can drink out of it, which I guess you could, I don't want to encourage that sort of thing with junior players, with the World Junior Trophy, but it was kind of small. Heavy. It seemed like it was heavy.
Yeah, it is heavy, actually. And Don, when you watch him carry the Stanley Cup around the ice, it looks so beautiful. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about that. Is it just me? That was Lazar's best game as a Canuck player to date. He brought so much energy. The whole team benefited, especially the hit that sent the Avs player into the Canucks bench. Drew from Vancouver.
And Bo Horvat gave him the title belt, player of the game in the dressing room afterwards. The great was from Mount Pearl, Newfoundland. Is it just me? But looks like Rick was stuck in the tunnel during birthdays. You had a tough day.
Okay, no hockey players. And you bring in some British actors, British poet.
Mr. Bean, who doesn't know who he is?
I know Mr. Bean. I watch his movies. I don't know the guy's name. But cut out the British stuff. Okay, is it just me? Kuzmenko, a wizard with the puck, cannon for a shot, great signing. Get used to watching him and Bo light it up for another team since we extended Miller and Besser. Great management. Gary and Burnaby.
Very quickly, unsigned. Is it just me or having Horvat at the All-Star game could be embarrassing to the team if the Canucks trade him before the event? We've had a lot of submissions along those lines.
Yeah.
Like, you know, maybe the reason Horvat's there is because nobody's sure if he's still going to be a Canuck once the All-Star game rolls around.
Speculation.
Food for thought. Donnie and Dolly, the team on Chef, will wrap up the show next. Hey, everyone. It's Donnie and Dolly, and we're looking to partner with your company.
We have several packages and price points to fit your budget and spread the word about your company on the show, in our podcast, and on social media.
We'd love to get involved with your company. Call 250-880-2282 or email advertise@checkmedia.ca. As we continue our campaign to get Patrick Hernandez's 1979 hit, Born to be Alive, played on a regular basis at Rogers Arena, maybe after a Canucks victory, we present to you again the bet99.net poll question. They don't make them like that anymore, Rick.
No, they don't. And if the owner's watching, the Canucks owner, get the song on at least once for us. I don't think he likes us, Donnie. Our bet99.net poll question. What should the Canucks do with Andrei Kuzmenko? Trade him or extend him? And 70% say absolutely, unequivocally, 100% extend him.
Two goals last night, 17 on the season. He's been better than expected. Business.
And unbelievable personality the whole nine years. He's been great.
Good hair. No, I'm serious. Of course, anybody has good
hair. He's got curly hair, Don. I mean, what's the big deal?
According to me.
Can I go?
If you missed any of today's show, you can catch full replays of Donnie and Dolly on the Check Plus app or watch our interviews on YouTube. Search for Donnie and Dolly, all brought to you by the Bayside Oceanfront Resort.com, located outside in beautiful Parksville. The Bayside Resort, one of Vancouver Island's premier getaway spots. Looking for a winter getaway? Stay at the Bayside, December, January. Get 25% off.
Look at those Eggs Benedict there.
Oh, there's nothing better than Eggs Benedict. Right there, nightly room rate, 25% off. If you mentioned Donnie and Dolly, book your island getaway today at the Bayside Oceanfront Resort.com or call 250-248-8333 and go out there and see Brandon and Dom.
Thanks so much to them for being part of our show. Is it just me? Got room for some more here? New West Nick. Is it just me, or is the Miller signing this generation's Messier trade, as they will both end the reign of a popular captain? Right?
Yeah, well, we
Trevor Linden in the case of Messier, maybe Bo Horvat in the case of JT Miller.
I still, to this day, do not like the way Linden had the captaincy taken away. It was just absolutely wrong in so many ways. Donnie, the results of the poll question, is it just me, show that there are still Canuck fans out there that side with Dolly and his agents. They just want to keep the band together and hope to get two playoff games every 5 years.
You guys are the problem. Yeah? You're the problem.
No, I heard Bruff
was ripping agents.
Me. Hey, Bruff was ripping me this morning about agents. And Bruff, go ask Bruff. He's got an agent by the name of Ross Gurney for the past 10 years, and he was ripping agents. How dumb is that?
Nobody has a clue what you're talking about.
Yeah, Bruff,
right now.
Well, like, honest to God. Yeah, Bruff and Ruffy was ripping me this morning about agents.
Lots of
and
fun.
He's got one.
An agent.
Yeah, the same guy you and I had.
Have a great weekend, folks. Again, Happy New Year. On behalf of Ryan, Derek, Rick, everybody here at Oh Boy in Check, I'm Don, and you're up to date in the world of sports.
Thanks for listening to the Donnie and Dolly podcast. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at Donnie and Dolly for all the latest show content.